Dr. Laura indeed discriminated against gays in this country with her comments that she's basically saying that gays and lesbians are normal, deviant, disordered, dysfunctional. I said it on this radio station and others across the country. Number of people complained right across the country, including a Halifax resident that we talked to earlier this morning. His name was Ian Crow. And that conversation this morning with Mr. Crow prompted this response in my voicemail this morning. I just checked it and thought I'd get it off, and we'll lead this off on this hour and hear what this fellow has to say, and then we'll go to the phones to hear from you. Here it is.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? I just heard that interview this morning with the fella who, I don't know what you would call that, squeal on Dr. Laura. It seems to me that these people who get on the radio like that are so almost militant. When I heard him talking to you, I could hear anger in his voice, and I don't know if that comes from frustration, but I mean, I've never called you up and yelled out, had this urge to yell out that I'm heterosexual, and, I want to proclaim to the world my heterosexuality, and, I don't know. I just don't get why they've got to go on there and disprove themselves or something. There's a minority, a vocal minority out there that just seem to have to do this, and it just turns all the right buttons as far as media is concerned. They love that kind of stuff, but look, I don't know. Dr. Laura, as far as I'm concerned, is for the family. She may have said a few bad things, just what some people might perceive to be some bad things, but for the most part, she's got good things to say for the family. But guys like this fella here, It just scares me.
10:12 is our time. Let's go to the phones, 493-8255-493. Talk your comments on what he just had to say, our interview with Mr. Crow, or anything else that's on your mind this morning. Michael's going to lead us off here. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. How are you, Rick?
I'm well, sir. How are you this morning?
Every day above ground is a good day for me.
That's a good philosophy to have. What's in your mind this morning,
Rick? Well, I think sometimes when you listen to the talk show, I look at situations that come up, and I ask about the physical health of people, because it's very plain that the physical health of people determine many times what they're thinking and how they're responding to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are things that, I'd like your impression on that also, but I go back to years ago. I took some very well-known artists in a van out to the desert just to paint pictures. And what I wanted to see was how each one of the artists looked at the pictures.
Interesting.
And it was the same scene for the four artists. And the one that was best known with art in the museum had the worst picture. And when I asked the question why, she was going through her monthly cycle. And things didn't look the same to her as they normally did. And so I asked the question, what is it with people when I hear a response from the young man talking about the call that you had and the email that you had and what have you? I have to look at it and say, where are they as far as their physical health and what's going on with them in that response?
So what is the point then of what you're saying here? Is that we're whining because we're not healthy?
I think that a great deal of our problems come from the lack of health. And the fact that people have all kinds of what are called diseases, which are just symptoms of the inability to digest food and the inability to properly eliminate the toxins out of their body.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting concept. I really haven't thought of it in those terms at all. The impact, I suppose, though, it makes sense, really. If you're not feeling well, then perhaps you're crankier and more prone to speak. I don't know, Michael. I guess I lose the point of what you're trying to get here.
Well, you can see it, and I know that if I were to wake up with a cold, the flu, all the symptoms of sickness, I'm not going to be responding to myself or to my family or to other people in the same manner, the same pleasant manner that I would be if I was feeling great. And so, you know, I look at those things in a daily activity, and you ask people quite frequently, someone will tell you after having a bad experience with them, I wasn't feeling well that day. And so this comes up frequently, and I think that there are things that people can do to help improve their health and bring themselves to a more consistent, good feeling in life than what they're doing.
Yeah, well said.
Right now what we're doing is we're putting chemicals, we're quite frequently here in Halifax, we don't breathe as much bad air as you do in other parts of the world, but we constantly put into our systems things that are not natural to it. And you see in the world around you, you see animals and things that don't do what we do, they don't eat the things that we eat, and they don't die of the same diseases and have the same problems that we have. And so when I look at those conditions and those situations, I say there must be something that has to be done.
Interesting thoughts there, Michael.
And that's, you know, and we'll discuss that. I'm going to be lecturing at the university at Mount St. Vincent tomorrow.
Okay, what time?
And that's at 9:30 in the morning.
All right, at Mount St. Vincent.
Yes. And, you know, anyone interested, they could call Doug Collins. I think you've spoken with Doug, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have.
And that's at 443-6486.
443-6486. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1017 on medical care, protest planned for today on what's going on with the health care system. Nova Scotia's nurses down there later on. Well, actually, 10 o'clock is it's underway right now. And as well, there's the news out of the QE2. And I'd like to hear your reaction. The premier kind of caught me by surprise with his comments on this. He calls these 418 job cuts at the QE2 a positive step. Says it's a positive step forward in healthcare delivery. He says these cuts target bloated management. Premier says, who do these people see when they get sick? They see nurses, they see doctors, they get a lab test, or they go to an x-ray for some kind of diagnostic testing. We have to have an efficient administrative structure overseeing this process, but it can't be top-heavy, and it's top-heavy now. That's the premier's comments on as many as 418 job cuts coming at the QE2, 40-some yesterday. 10:18, caller tells us that protest starts
There's
another one. Okay, that's the Nova Scotia Hospital protest. And then we have the Parents Education Group protesting as well today. So a busy day down at Province House. Anna's on the line. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Very well. How are you this morning?
Not bad, thank you.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, yesterday I was calling to turn to in a time of crisis, so that
that's for let me use this in quotes here, normal thinking people, as opposed to this fellow who, you know, just got out of prison. And I'm wondering if in this particular case it's more of a thing that somebody was released from prison who shouldn't have been, as opposed to no place for this fellow to turn to express his frustrations.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think one of the things in the correctional system that they don't necessarily deal with, or I've watched different programs, and one of the things that they don't deal with men in particular very well, I don't know about women, but I haven't seen it, is, you know, educating men in dealing with their sexual frustrations, dealing with their frustrations, identifying what those frustrations are, you know, what are healthy means of expressing those frustrations. And, you know, instead, you know, they go into the prison system, which is a confined situation, and, you know, there isn't a lot of privacy. There isn't necessarily, the access to things like, you know, counseling that there should be, maybe.
Yeah, there's a good point, but here's the question: is our prison system there to rehabilitate or to punish?
Well, I think it has to be there for rehabilitation. If it's there to punish, then I think we're losing sight of you know, what the possibilities are for the individual. I mean, because any individual can be led down the garden path into something that is bad for them or bad for the society. It's up to the society to, you know, if I mean, hopefully, up to the society, firstly, to prevent that particular thing from happening, you know, by having good things in the community in place for people who are dealing with, you know, the frustration of job loss, the frustration of, you know, a relationship that's gone bad, you know, poor family skills and those kinds of things, and helping them get the tools that they need, you know, to build healthy relationships, not only with others, but with themselves. You know, encouraging them to, you know, find ways of having a good job and, you know, having good relationships and being involved in the community. Because I think if they do these things, then they're less likely to commit a crime.
Indeed. Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
1023-493-8255-493-TALK. We're going to take a break here. Jane, Mo, Jerry, and others stand by. I want to read you a letter, though, from a group called Canada's Civilized Majority. It's a letter to the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council. It says, to whom it may concern, this is to register in the strongest possible civilized language the outrage of Canada's Civilized Majority, that's the name of this group, over the hateful anti-Semitism of your vicious attack upon Dr. Laura Schlesinger, censoring her for daring to publicly proclaim the teaching of Moses and Jesus and of Muhammad and of all the major world religions as to the destructiveness of homosexual conduct. This is one group of this is a group from Ontario, not at all pleased with the Canadian Standards Broadcast Council delving into this. This gets back to our whole question of free speech that we raised here yesterday. And have we become too politically correct? This same group, this same Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, when it issued its decision on Dr. Laura, had a number of other decisions yesterday that came to public as well. Did you know that they spent time delving into whether a show on a Bugs Bunny cartoon was anti-women? These are the things that we've resorted to with our committees and the like here in Canada. And I say we have become too politically correct. If we sick a group of people like this into efforts to determine whether Bugs Bunny cartoons are somehow sending the wrong message out there. It's a sad, sad commentary, I think. 1025, we'll be right back.
493-TALK. 493-8255 is the number for Hotline on News Talk Radio, 920 CJCH. We'll be right back.
She's radio's most popular and controversial talk show host, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. And she's here live weekday afternoons at 3, right here on Talk Radio 920 CJCH.
Frame plus art should be part of all your special occasions. Birthdays, weddings, retirements, new babies. Of course you need quality frame photos and artwork that will last a lifetime. Frame plus art has a beautiful selection of Nova Scotia landscapes and seascapes by local artists, as well as 4 outstanding new images of Nova Scotia posters by Maurice Crosby, suitable for framing or plaque mounting. Now featured at all Metro Frame plus art locations. Make Frame plus art part of all your important memories. How do you know when your car should go straight to Moosehorn Auto? Let's look at some examples. If you hear a clicking noise from the engine as you accelerate, you can begin troubleshooting by checking your oil level. But if your vehicle is using more fuel than usual and emits a rotten egg smell from the exhaust, this could lead to serious problems. Take it to the import repair specialists at Moosehorn Auto for evaluation. Moosehorn Auto, 3200 Kemp Road. Find them fast in the Yellow Pages directory and drive smart.
I'm Mother Nature, here to tell you about my friends at Callahan Organics. We've worked together for 20 years to give you the highest quality of organic soils and bark mulch. In preparing your new landscape or amending an existing lawn or garden, if you begin with the best, you'll see the difference in lush lawns and bountiful gardens. Don't settle for less than Callahan Organics.
And don't mess with Mother Nature!
Metro delivery available or stop by 6 days a week. Callahan Organics, Duke Street in Bedford. Call 835-2606.
When you renovate this spring, why not include a home tune-up? Clean Nova Scotia has a program that can help you save money, enjoy a more comfortable home, and help reduce your impact on the environment. For $30, you get a comprehensive assessment of your home, including energy efficiency and water consumption, a value of $220. You'll receive a report, recommendations and resources, and a water conservation kit for your home. We're doing only 2,000 homes in HRM, so call Clean Nova Scotia today to book your home tune-up. 420-3474.
1:27. Jane's next here this morning. Good morning, Jane.
Oh, good morning. Oh,
can I just ask you, hang on one quick sec. We just got a traffic note here. Eisner Drive in Burnside, we're told, is now closed in both directions because of a chemical spill of some sorts. Doug Reynolds in the news department tracking that one down for us, and we'll have full details coming up at the top of the hour. But if you're in the Eisner Drive area of Burnside in Dartmouth, that street closed in both directions because of a chemical spill. Sorry, Jane, there we go. A little traffic update for us.
Oh, hi. Well, I have to tell you this morning, I'm full of toxins. I've got a cold, so I don't know how reliable my opinions might be.
But that's all right.
I tried to call early because I find with every caller that you have, I have an opinion on everything that...
It seems to happen now. I get a lot of that kind of reaction.
It's
people saying, I was going to talk about this, and then somebody else said that, and here we go.
That's right. Well, I think you almost said it all for me there in your last little piece, but I did want to address the Dr. Laura issue. You must be getting sick of hearing about it.
Not at all. I find that, you know, these are very fundamental debates, and it's too bad that, you know, Dr. Laura's and their views have to do this, but I find it's very important to our democracy and our freedoms and rights that we have in this country that these are healthy debates to get into.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, Jane isn't really my name.
Oh, okay.
And I felt even if I gave my first name, I might be in some jeopardy of losing my employment.
Is that
if
right?
If my views were to come to light.
Boy, I hope not, Jane.
Certainly, you know, my views are known in the office, but I, you know, there's some public contact in the job that I do. And so, yes, I have a real concern that if I were identified with my employment and my views were made known, then I would lose my job either through a kind of self-protective fear from the employment itself or through pressure from these groups that were identified, I guess, by your caller on the message machine this morning. The hatred and the violence of some of these homosexual groups in addressing those who oppose their choices is very destructive. So when it comes to actual destructive proposals, you see those mostly coming from those special interest groups. They want to see people fired, losing their jobs, silenced, like Dr. Laura, and really violations to the democracy itself. So it, in terms of destructive potential, it is far greater on the side of those groups who have something to protect, I'm sure.
But interesting views, but let me take you back here. And are they not reacting like this because for so long that they were themselves treated like they were non-humans.
I don't know whether that's the case or not. Depending on how old you are, you have that particular length of time as your personal history. But really, for most of my lifetime, there has not been any persecution, if you will. Certainly, there's been disapproval. That's based on moral grounds. You'll hear that from Dr. Laura and from philosophical religious teachings. Yes, there's been opposition. But let me put it to you this way. If I were to decide, and there is a group of people who firmly believe in this, that my health will be improved by drinking my own urine. And if I decided to bring a glass of that to the lunch table and to discuss it and to talk about how I obtained it and to feel that everybody, you know, probably would benefit from it and to promote it and to expect that others celebrate with me the drinking of my own urine or perhaps the eating of my own, you know, boogers in public, then people would be disgusted simply because they find the act itself disgusting.
Mm.
There's no politically correct, there's no propaganda, there's no school teaching or training that is going to make people feel that a particular act that they find disgusting is in fact acceptable and delightful. It doesn't matter how much I feel it benefits me or the people who with me participate in it. If others on the whole find that act repulsive, they will express that. And if I feel insecure or if I feel put upon or unliked because of that or excluded, that is just the price that you pay because you made that particular choice.
But okay, I can understand if people like yourself, Jane, who expresses your displeasure with homosexuality, but if Jane is an employer and chooses between candidate A and candidate B for the job, both fully qualified candidates, for example, and finds out that candidate B is a homosexual and decides to hire candidate A because of that, I think that that's crossed over a line as well.
Well, yes, but that's not what's being proposed, and that's not what Dr. Laura talks about.
No.
You see, and so there are laws in place, and, you know, if that's what's being done, then, yeah, sure, you have your recourse in the law. But what's happening here is that there is a group of people who are demanding that people accept and celebrate these choices,
yes.
And they do not, and they will not, and they're free to say so. And it's unfortunate that your personal choices, and a lot of people who are in this special interest group, they will say it's not a personal choice. I was born this way. And so they put it on a different footing, and they use that to equate themselves with the suffering of the Jews and the Holocaust, or with black people and their suffering, which I find really offensive. There is nothing in being homosexual or lesbian that is obvious from looking at you. If you wish to keep it private, you can keep it private, and most people keep their sexual activities private.
That's the thing I don't understand. Why do
black,
homosexuals?
There's no way to keep that private.
Yeah.
And that is something that every black person who conceives with another black person, or even a white person, they will have a child that will bear that obvious sign of being black. And so, yes, the oppression that they faced, being hung, the lynchings. If you saw that Time article about the photographic exhibit of lynchings in the United States, that is persecution.
Well, we still see in the States, though, Jane.
Excluded from the party isn't, it's not the same thing.
But we still see in the States people who are beaten to death because they're homosexual.
Well, yes, there have been some incidents of that, but that's not, again, that's an incident, but this is not a systemic problem. It hasn't been for as long as I've been alive. There's been definitely an exclusion of people who profess that particular sexual habit. There has not been the oppression. I mean, if I was a Jewish person, I would be really offended at the inclusion of the sense of exclusion that the homosexual community may feel with the suffering of my people in the Holocaust or with slavery. There is no equation. You will not convince me that there is an equation there. It is something, again, that is a matter of choice. If I'm a homosexual in any society, no one ever needs to know about it.
Yeah, that's a question some have. Why do they flaunt it? Why do they continue to have Gay Pride Week and parades? And why not just, okay, you're homosexual, fine, all right?
It seems to me
go
that it's
do
a desire
whatever you
not
do.
To
yeah.
avoid any kind of persecution or discrimination, which is what you would find in employment and that sort of thing. It's a determination that people be required and forced to accept and celebrate and promote their particular choices, and that is going too far. That is, as you say, crossing the line.
And I'm as concerned as you are and others that because of this action, a program like Dr. Laura's might end up being taken off the air.
This is a very dangerous precedent. That's the choice of your group. Remember, this Canadian broadcast...
No, I'm not talking about our choice. I'm talking about...
It's a voluntarily
that's right.
constituted organization of the broadcasting stations. If you feel that your ability to be the instrument of free speech in society is impaired because of your participation in this group, it is for your station to withdraw.
Easier said than done, and it's just not our station. This is right across the country here.
I did a little inquiry about what was the constitution of this Canadian broadcast, and it's a voluntary association.
Yeah, voluntary, but...
What benefit do you receive by belonging to it?
Well, let's tell you this, in the world of politics, it's a voluntary thing, yes, but if, let's say, the station chose to ignore what this council says, then next time we go... Well, next time we go to the CRTC, which encourages this council, then the CRTC says, hey, I see where, you're not participating in this thing anymore.
Well, that's kind of speculative, yeah. But if there's no penalty for disregarding their instructions, if you feel strongly about the position you take on free speech, if you're, and I understand all your people were not available for comment yesterday, so I can see it's putting the station in a difficult situation, but if you feel strongly that you are the instrument of free speech and a very important one, then perhaps it's time to put your money where your mouth is.
Indeed. Well said, Jane. Thank you for the call this morning.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too. 10:36. Interesting thoughts there. Well-spoken lady. Who's next? Mo is on the line. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Rick. I'm back again. Rick, I want to touch on two things. I'll be very brief.
Okay.
I don't want to get involved with the homosexual issue, but I refer your listeners to the a New Testament of the Bible, L-E-V-I-T-I-C.
Leviticus.
Chapter 19. And it says about a man laying with another man and a woman laying with another woman, it is abdominal. Now, if you look in the Webster's dictionary, abdominal means wrong, not right. Now, that controversy went on in the United Church for quite some time. I'm sure you read about that, and out in your other listeners that are Christians, that there was a pull away from the United Church, a number of its members that either gave up their membership and so on over this issue. Now, I don't like to become involved into a debate because I feel that all of us are the children of God, and whatever our gender is not what we can do about that. But as that lady said, if you're going to keep something private, keep it private. As Pierre Trudeau said one time, I can't promise you a bed of roses, but he said, what goes on in the bedrooms of the nation is none of my business. When they asked the prime minister, I read that in a book. And it's their own thinking. Whoever wants to share that belief with them, let them share it among themselves. And as that lady said, when being open with it, well, that's their business. Probably some people look at them to condemn them and say, well, you shouldn't be a part of our society. That's wrong. I don't agree with that, really, because we all have faults and so on. I mean, we're not perfect, right?
Yep.
Now, number two is the protests by the senior citizens. I want to know where all these poor senior citizens were the Monday that I was down to the parade,
Province House. Yeah.
Now, maybe it was poorly organized. As I told you, and I'll repeat myself, there was a bus that arrived there with a number of people on from McKean Manor. There was about 15, 16 people, one man. I made the second person. I didn't see any other males. And the rest were people, one lady in a wheelchair whose picture was in the paper, and the rest were
vocal about this. And then when people shoot back, then they go into a defensive shell and they accuse us of being all kinds of different things. I don't like that.
Well,
I don't like that.
Again, it's the thing. It's people use these labels as a means of hurting other people. They say, you know, you're a broadcaster, but they might call you something else to hurt you.
I've been called many labels.
Now,
some of which I can't say on the radio.
On this Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, you got to be careful what you do here. You could be in trouble. The the Vice President for Social Policy and Media Education is a Sarah Crawford from Chum Television. Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh,
that's your parent company.
Thanks, dear. I think that council's a great council. See you, buddy.
It's odd. There's some inconsistencies here. I mean, most of these people are, majority are female, believe it or not, on the national board.
Is that right?
And on the Nova Scotia Atlantic board, they're all female. So it seems there's a little bit of imbalance there of some sort or other, if you want to, you know,
Label somebody
as unbalanced towards female. The broadcaster member for Atlantic Canada is Carol McDade.
Yes,
Global.
I talked to Carol yesterday and trying to get her to come on the air.
Zoe Rideout is the vice chair of the Atlantic Region Council. She's Greater Moncton Association for Living, Community Living or something.
Yeah.
Kay McCauley from Stephenville, CFSJ. She's a traffic director over there.
Okay.
I'm not sure what a traffic director does, but
they're the people that run the logs that set up how a radio station sounds each day. Yeah.
And there's a Carol Thomas, and she's just a public member on the regional council. She worked for Nova Scotia Human Rights Commission since 1973. Chairperson of the Provincial Advisory Committee on Race for Race Relations, and former president memberships interdepartmental committee on the status of women and black professional women's group in Nova Scotia. Then there's a Hillary Mumbercat, and she's from NUCAP.
Hillary is a he.
Hillary is a he.
Hillary is a he.
I'm sorry, then it's not all female.
There you go.
I had to assume that Hillary was female.
You had to assume. That's what happens to assumption.
I labeled her right away.
You
right?
did.
That's terrible.
got more calls here.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Right,
1052, Barry is next. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad. It's an interesting program. I missed yesterday. It must have been really heated.
Oh, it was a good one. I don't want to say it was heated. It was a good exchange of ideas from... I tell you, Barry, I was really impressed with the wide range of differing opinions that we had on everything from, you know, the gay community to religious to non-religious. It encompassed a lot. I thought it was a very good airing of the many views.
If Tuckler had said that Nova Scotia was a province not to visit because the people were deviant and everything else, people would be insulted. Well, they picked on gays. It's not quite so. Nobody cared except a few gays that actually got insulted. Did bring up or complain about it. I mean, isn't gay bashing finally going on long enough?
Do you think that Dr. Laura's gay bashing?
Yeah, if you had a...
Or is she saying what she feels about a practice that she, because of her morals, finds, as she said, abnormal?
Hey, listen, they were Jews or moneylenders or something else, what happened to them? There is a limit to going over a line. And if you've ever dealt with homosexuals, and we have in our life, I remember back in the 60s, they used to roll them and say, "Oh, hell," and the police didn't call the front and go,
"You
did it."
Yeah, that's why people shouldn't be surprised today at how outspoken some gays can be because of what happened over the years. Just like you said, Barry, there were times when they were beaten up and rolled on Citadel Hill, and the police just turned their heads and walked away.
And, you know, they don't try to get any heterosexual into their lifestyle because if you are what you are, so they're not promoting it. They're trying to get their own to finally stand up so they can live a normal life. And they also don't want to have a child that, if somebody has a child that's gay, it's really hard on that parent. Even today, I mean, even though we're supposed to be more liberal, it's a really hard thing.